usually like speaking before my wife sings, because then people clap.
Look, I know that.
There you go, Levi, just for you, because I care. I've turned on the mic. Anyway. Go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. And we're going to... We're going to be reading all over in John chapter number 6 here. Put it underneath. That's going to be annoying if you hear me breathe every time. John chapter number 6. Go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read, let's start reading in verse number 47. We'll read a couple verses there. John chapter number 6, verse number 47. And Jesus says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and are dead. This bread which cometh down from heaven, that man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for life of the world." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Lord, I ask that you would just help me communicate your thoughts today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can sit down there. I'll read you just a couple other verses here. The Jews didn't like this statement. Jesus is making this statement. Jesus is making an analogy. And sometimes when you make a statement or an analogy, people can take it the wrong way. And so the Jews did not take this the right way. And so Jesus, like any good Baptist preacher, doubles down. He doesn't smooth out this. He doubles down and makes it even more over the top, as it were, more over the top analogy. In verse number 53, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you." So he goes even further. First he says, you know, "I'm the bread of life. Just like the manna came down from heaven, and your people ate and God sustained them, I am this new covenant, I am the bread of life coming down." They don't like that. They don't like that Jesus says this. So Jesus goes, okay, that's not just me, is it? Okay. I'm not crazy. You all hear that? Yes. Jesus goes even further and says, "Hey, look, not only am I the bread of life, not only is this an analogy, but literally you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood." Now, we know that's not what God is trying to say there. Okay, we know that he's giving an example. We understand that as Christians looking back on it. But imagine if you were there. I mean, what if the pastor came to the pulpit today and said, "Hey, look, everybody, we're going to eat somebody today. After the service, you know, we're not eating sausages, we're eating a person. And anybody who doesn't want to eat that, you're not going to be part of the membership of the church." You know, billions of people did that today. The Catholic Church believes that. Yeah. Catholic Church believes that. That's what the Catholic Church takes this verse and believes that when the bell rings and, you know, the spooky mysticist, and that wine turns into the literal blood of Jesus, and the wafer turns into the little body of Christ. And if you don't eat that, you die and go to hell. That's why they eat at every service. That's why they do communion so much, is because they believe that saves them. They believe that Jesus here was literally saying, "You have to eat my blood, or drink my blood, and eat my flesh." That's what they believe. This is their doctrine. Millions or billions of people in the world believe that, or at least participate in it, and these people are confused. Now, it's not what we're talking about here today, but I want to kind of get you the understanding of where we're going to go next. So this is right after the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus just fed 5,000 men, and we don't know how many women and children are there, but quite a few people are present at this. After Jesus says this, the Bible says that many went away, that many people left, that people just ran out, head for the hills. So I'll pick up that thought here in verse number, let's see here. In verse number 62, it says, Jesus says, "What shall ye say if ye see the Son of Man ascend up to heaven and before him, and the Spirit, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, and he is the flesh that profiteth not. And the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there is some of you that will not believe." And the Bible says, the Bible clarifies why Jesus is saying this. He's saying it just to his disciples, but he's saying there's some of you that won't believe this. It says, "For Jesus knew from the beginning who would betray him, and that believed not, and who would betray him. And he said unto them, Therefore I say unto you, no man hath come unto me except it were given of him unto the Father. For that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will you also go away?" Can I shut that off?
Or is it's just gonna make that sound? It's fine. Okay. I'm easily distracted. I have ADHD. Oh, look at shiny disease. So, it's okay. We can work around it. And then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered and said unto him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe that thou art sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Now here's the concept here that I want to present to us, or to me. What? It's on. Or it was on.
Thank you for choosing First Baptist Church. We're glad you're here today.
So, just do whatever you want to do. I'm just going to pretend like it doesn't exist. So, here the thought I want, the thought that jumped out at me when I was reading this is Jesus has this big thing. These people leave. They no longer want to follow Jesus. Jesus comes to his 12, which he knows that one of them is going to leave eventually. And he says, "You know, are you also going to go away?" And they say, "No, because you have the words of life. You have the eternal words. You have what we're seeking. You have what we need." And the question I have today is, what are you connected to? Or what are you going to stay connected to? And how can we make other connections? We work with, me and Brother Jason work on a bus route together. We have way too much fun. And we don't tell our pastor half of what we do, and that's okay. But we have a lot of fun. We do it because we love these kids. We do it because somebody reached us. We do it because we're commanded to do it. But as we're going out and as we're doing this, we're trying to make connections with these people. We're trying to, it's called soul winning. We're trying to win their soul so that God can speak to their spirit. We can't speak to their spirit. God is the only one that speaks in spirit, but we can speak to their soul. We can talk to their mind, emotions, and will. We can talk to them on this level so that maybe one day they'll catch it. That's our goal. That's why we're out there. That's why we run around with candy in our pockets. That's why we do what we do. It's not because we have nothing better to do. It's we love it, but we're there to try to get them connected. We're trying to make a connection with them so they'll make a connection with God. Sometimes while we're doing this, or trying to desperately make this connection, we seem to repel people away. And if you would look at a magnet, I was going to bring a magnet, but I forgot to bring my magnet with you. But if you were to look at a magnet, you have the North Pole, the South Pole. We all went to school. school, right? We know what I'm talking about. Okay, and if you turn the magnet the wrong way, they actually push apart from each other. But if you turn them the right way, they connect to each other. And sometimes when we're going out there, a lot like Jesus here, when we're going out there, Jesus is trying to make this connection. Jesus is trying to make a deeper relationship with these people. He says, hey, look, I'm the bread of life. You think that would be a positive statement. You think that would be an exciting statement. But really, that repels people away from him. Telling him that he's going to provide their needs. Telling him, hey, look, I'm going to give you everything you've ever desired and more. And this repels people away from him. I'm thinking of an example I won't say right now, but Brother Jason probably knows the example. I mean, this lady, her daughters come to our church for a long, long, long time, and we were at their house, and she said something, and I said, hey, look, why don't you come to church and just see what's going on? Come to church and be a part of it. Come ride the bus. Come be with your daughter. See what it's like. Experience it for yourself, as it were. Because you know, she was saying, well, this happened and this happened and all these things are happening. And I said, well, why don't you just come? Okay. A week later, she points me out and she says, you said something to me a week ago that made me so mad. I've been mad about it all week. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, Brother Jason, I mean, we say some things, you know. You know how I am, you know. But we say some things, and I'm thinking, what did I say? She said, you said you should come to the church with a kid if you really want to know what it's about. I'm thinking, yeah, I said that. I can't believe you said that. She was so mad. She was so mad that I would even say, hey, look, come and try it out. And that statement repelled her away. Instead of bringing her, instead of her going, you know what, I will come, that connection repelled her away. But the question I have for you today is, so Jesus isn't here anymore, right? Has anybody met Jesus today? Physically? Embodiment of him? No, nobody's seen him today. He's no longer walking this earth. He's no longer speaking these words of life. So where are people going to go to get these words of life? See, there's not too many people that have these words of life. Okay, quick question here. How many of you, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven? Okay? So you have them, right? You got the words of life inside of you, right? You met Jesus at some point in your life. You received him as your Savior. You accepted these words of life in you. Somebody made a connection with you to connect you to Christ. And so now you have the words of life inside of you. So now it's my job. Just like Jesus was out here and preaching and teaching people, now it's my job to go out and try to make connections with other people. Have you ever had a magnet or a magnetic screwdriver, and you get a screw and you put it on there, and now that screw becomes a magnet, you know, and it connects to other screws, you know what I'm talking about? Once one piece of metal is connected to that magnet, all the other things that it touches is now connected to that same magnet. That connection flows through them. And that's what I'm supposed to be like with Christ. Just like Christ is saying, just like Peter is saying, okay, who are we going to go to? Who are we going to get this connection? Who are we going to get this bread? Who are we going to get my needs filled? Who are we going to go to? You know what? That is what our world is saying. That is why we have all the stuff that we have, all the craziness, all the racism, all the riots, all the confusion. They're trying to find that. They're trying to find this bread of life. They're trying to find that connection. They're trying to find something that connects them to something that's stronger than them. Because see, I'm just a piece of metal. I have no power in and of myself. I am useless by myself. I am a pointless speck in the existence of humanity. But when I connect myself to Christ, I let his power flow through me, and now I can connect other people, not to me, but through me to Christ. So that's the concept here. This is what we're trying to, this is what I'm going to try to convey. This is the burden on my heart today. So I would suggest that the first way we connect people to Christ is through compassion. The first way we connect people to Christ is through compassion, or with compassion. In Jude chapter number 1, verse 22, it says, "And some having compassion, making a difference." I have a saying that I don't know where I picked it up. I'm sure somebody smarter than me said it to me, and now I carry it on. But I have a saying, if you experience the love of Christ, you'll never want anything else. I say that to teenagers, and I say that to people that think, that claim they're in love. You know, you ever, you know, working with kids, they'll fall in love, you know, and they're head over heels for these people or whatever, and they're 15, 16 years old. They don't even know what love is about. Okay, they don't even understand the depths that love means. And I try to explain that. Hey, look, when you connect to God's love, you'll never want for anything else. Hey, when you connect to God's love, you'll never need to worry about separation. We preach so much on separation. Don't do this. Don't do that. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. And that offends people. And there's no reason for us to stop telling people what not to do. Jesus said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It's right for the pastor to stand up and say, hey, we shouldn't be, Harry, don't smoke anymore. I mean, really. I mean, it's right for the pastor to say these things. But people get offended that instead of bringing people closer to Christ, supposedly legalism, as termed by the liberal crowd, the narrow way really is what it is. But this mindset to be close to God, you got to be holy because God says it. I am holy, therefore be ye holy, and that's in the scriptures. But when you tell people that drives people away. But really, what you're trying to tell people is, hey, look, if you want to get close to God, you're going to have to love the things that He loves. You know, if I want to be close to my wife, I got to love things that she loves. If I don't love what she loves, I'm not going to be close to my wife. You know? I like certain things. She likes certain things. And for us to coexist, we have to, what, come together and connect. And the way you can connect to people is first with compassion. Hey, look, people are going to annoy the snot out of you. Okay? People are going to try your patience. But just remember, you tried their patience first. Do you remember what you were like as a kid? If not, ask your mom. She'll have good stories. You've all heard my stories. I don't even get to speak against them. Most of those aren't true, by the way. I'd like to put that on record if anybody's keeping records. No, most of them are true, and there's stories that they don't even know about. I have to be careful about the illustrations I use in this church. See, I can use illustrations, other things about my life. Because either there's some things I did as a teenager my parents don't even know about. They found out I probably would die. So, you know, the statute of limitations have not been exceeded yet on that. But how were you before you got saved? What were you like? And even after you've been saved, how many times have you failed God? How many times? How many times have you spoken out of turn? How many times have you lost your temper? How many times have you been unpleasant or unkind or backbought or gossiped or all these things that God says, hey, look, I hate these things. Those are an abomination to me. But yet, God still loves you, and He still has patience with you, and He still has compassion to you. You know what? You're going to have to connect with people with compassion. There's no compassion in this world. There's no compassion in the lovey-dovey, supposable, you know, spirit-led religions out there. There's no compassion in that. There's emotion in that. There's no true compassion. True compassion brings people. True compassion doesn't let my kid play in the street. True compassion puts my kid inside and says, hey, look, don't play in the street. You can play in the street, you're going to get your hand smacked. That's what true compassion does. And, you know, I think we're a compassionate church. I think when people come in here, they feel the compassion of God. But, you know, the key is to connect daily with people with compassion. Next, I say not only are you supposed to connect with compassion, but you're supposed to connect by compelling people. Luke chapter number 14, verse 23, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto his servant, go unto the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." That word compel is an interesting word. That word compel means to drag with you. To drag with you. Have you ever had to compel? Anybody in here a parent? A parent, you got kids? Have you ever had to compel your kid to get out? You could get up out of bed in the morning? to compel them to do their homework, to compel them to eat their vegetables. Probably all of you have heard the story of how my dad compelled me to eat green beans. Raise your hand if you've heard the story. Okay, otherwise I'm going to have to tell it. Okay, good. Okay, that's everybody. I was compelled to eat these green beans, multiple times to compel. Why do we give out candy on the bus? Why do we give out prizes? Why do we dress up like Batman and Superman? Why do we act a fool? Why do we do all this? Deep down inside, you think we're like, you know what? I have nothing better to do today. I think I'm just going to go be a bozo for all day. It's to compel them to come in. It's to compel them to come in. It's to compel them to come in. Why was Jesus feeding the 5,000? Why was Jesus doing these miracles? He was trying to compel people to him. He was trying to compel people to him. You know what? You may have to go out of your comfort zone to compel somebody to come in. You think, you look at people like Brother Jason or Brother Micah or me, you think we don't have a comfort zone or like we don't get embarrassed. No, we get embarrassed. We've just gotten over it. Okay? We've just gotten over it. We do these things not because we're like outgoing like crazy people. We do these things to compel people to come in. You have to step out of yourself to compel somebody to come in. You know, you have to become what they need for you to become. And I'm not saying that in a worldly sense, okay? No, it's never right to do wrong in order for a chance to do right, okay? Okay, we're not bringing the rock group in. We're not bringing, you know, beer and Bible study, okay? Okay, we're not doing that, okay? We're going to do brats and Bible study, okay? Okay? We are going to have the man's meat dinner, whatever we call that, the man's fellowship, you know, the meat-a-thon or whatever we call that.
Beast,
you know,
feast.
Beast feast. There we go. I was looking. We're going to have that and compel people to come in. We're going to have the golf outing. We're going to have the gods, gals, and their craft fair and whatever else you guys do. Okay. It's to compel people here. It's to put people on the property. Why do we have trunk or treat? Because almost 300 people came onto our property to get candy out of a trunk. And multiple people have been saved and baptized because of it. But even if people didn't get saved and baptized from it, it's still our job to bring them here. If they don't get here, where are they going to go to get the words of life? Where are they going to go? Who else out there is preaching the whole gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, where all you have to do is put your faith and trust in Him, and Him alone, to be your Savior. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Who else out there is doing that? Very, very few. Very, very few. So we have to compel them. We have to make that connection. Lastly, we're supposed to connect with certainty or truth. But I have to, you know, we have to alliterate. Because if we don't alliterate, we get in trouble. So certainty with truth. Connect with certainty or with truth. In John chapter number 8, verse 32, Jesus says this, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set ye free." And they answered and said unto him, "We be of Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. And ye, how say thou, thou shalt be made free?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son, therefore, shall make ye free, ye shall be free indeed." There is so much bondage in this world. There's bondage of addiction. There's bondage of fear. There's bondage of anger. There's so much. We could go on and on and on and on. There's bondage in my life. Hint, there's some bondage in your life. If you commit, anybody in here perfect? Anybody perfect? Perfect? 100%? Perfect today? Be careful there, Brother Micah. Levi's raising his hand that he's perfect back there. Just may step away from that. So many people are so bound up. And we need to reach them with truth. That is the only thing that is going to reach these people, is the truth. They're not going to be reached with flowery sayings. They're not going to be reached with charisma. They're not going to be reached with all this. They're going to be reached with the truth. See, if we do the love and we do the compelling, but there's no truth when they get here, what have we done? What have we done? You know? We've had a Cavs game. That's what we've done, except we don't charge. We have a Cavs game. Thousands of people show up. They've reached them. They have compassion. They tell them that, oh, you're important to us. They've compelled them. They've told them the good points. But when they show up, there's no truth. And they leave the same. It's sad to say so many people will never hear the truth. Probably 90% of people you meet on a daily basis will never once encounter the truth. You are their hope. You are where they're going. Where are these words of life? Where are the eternal word? Where is this bread of life at? How else are they going to contact it? How else are they going to be connected with it? Where are they going to make that connection? Yes, you've got to make it with compassion. Yes, you've got to compel them to come in. But you got to reach them with the truth. If we don't reach them with the truth, then what is the point? Truth makes you different, right? Yes. Is different being free than bound? Is there a difference there?
Absolutely.
Has anybody ever been in jail? Levi, raise your hand. Okay. Anybody ever been in jail? Is it different being in jail than out of jail? A little bit? A little bit? We've all been bound by sin. You may currently be bound by some sin. When you receive the truth, it sets you free, and there's a difference with that. You know what? People will come and stay, just like these disciples will come and stay. Not because of the compassion, although that's important, not because they've been compelled to come in, but they'll stay because it's certain, because this is the truth, because they'll realize this is the place where the bread of life is. You know, that's what we have that very few other places have. You have the truth. You have the Word of God. You have the knowledge. Who are you connecting this to? Who are you going to connect this to? You know, in my life, there's so many people I need to connect to. I need to connect to my wife. I need to connect to my kids. I need to connect to my family. I need to connect to my church people. I need to connect to my neighbors. I need to connect to all these people. And in our life, as a church, who are we going to connect with? You know, God wants to use you to connect with these people. Just like you were connected to Him, God wants you to connect with these people. Hey, look, where else are they going to go? Where else are you going to go? There's nowhere else for you to go. This is the place where the Word of life is. This is the place where the bread of life is. And if we don't connect here, then we will become like a piece of metal that's useless instead of connected to the magnet that can connect us all the way together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord God, I ask that in our lives, in our hearts, God, I ask that we would seek to be connected with you, that we'd seek to connect to other people, we'd seek to be compassionate, we'd seek to compel people, but God, I ask that we'd seek to bring them the truth. God, you've given us the truth. How blessed the people we are. So many people in this world will live and die and never hear the truth. God, we've heard the truth, Lord God. I ask that we endeavor to connect to people. Heads bowed.